It is 9 a.m. in the West Coast, and it is 12 noon in the East Coast, and it is 7 p.m. in Jerusalem, the capital of Israel. Today is June 15, 2016, and this is Orly Benny Davis, and this is The Impossible Truth. Today on BBS Radio Studio One, we are going to talk about our state of mind. How are we going to face all those challenges that we all see clearly? What are we going to do about it? Last week, just when I finished the show, we in Israel learned about a shoot-up in the center of Tel Aviv, you know, an upscale mall, and it was terrifying, terrifying experience there for a very trafficked area. It's a mall, a cafe. And Saturday, we learned that there were a shoot-up in Orlando, Florida. 49 people got killed in a club and 53 wounded. And the next day in France, an officer got shot with his wife, just like that. And we all thinking, wow, is the world is going crazy? Are we gonna go, you know, wild now? Is it gonna be out of control? So I'm saying no, we are gonna take charge. And we're going to be taking control of the situation instead of the situation taking control of us. Now, you all know, you know me, I'm Israeli, but I'm an American too. And my training in Israel to be a child that goes around and, you know, run to the shelter at 5 years old gave me some perspective. And then in America, I learned how to you need to have a mental ability to control the situation. So together, we can join forces, you know, in the mind and work a plan how we're going to solve the situation. Now, terrorism is something that it's an act of violence that starts. And for the record, I want to talk about the fact that people do separate the incident from Tel Aviv to the one in Orlando, Florida, by saying that was Palestinian and that was terror. No, they're all the same. Terror is a terror is a terror. And whatever you think that, you know, you understand why they did, don't try to reason it. Because when you give them an excuse, they will always come with another one. Once you tolerate any kind of environmental pollution, of social, you know, economic, crime, anything, you know, abortions, women trafficking, any times you have your bar low on the level, you actually permit from an extra one to arrive. So we need to say no. Remember, zero tolerance for drug. So zero tolerance for terrorism. This is must be our plot. And how are we going to do that? You know, I've been meeting with some people because if you think that America and the world well-being is behind a reach of the goodwill of people, you're wrong. Because we in Israel, we're trained to face challenges and to be ready. And in the face of challenge, you actually have to be really calm and know what to do. Once you know what to do, you know, training will take over. That's what they teach you in flying lessons. When you fly, they teach you how to stall. And I remember Secretary Kerry teaching me how to stall in an event in 1994 in Los Angeles. I was a student pilot then, and it was just about my 7 hour. And in my 7 hour, I was supposed to stall. And I met him the night before. I said, oh, my God, I have to, you know, you're a pilot. What to do? So he was giving me instruction. Now, the idea is once you know what to do in a time of crisis, you will act up and do the same thing. So we are planning to come to America and help you all take care of business in educating, you know, you, teaching you, Now, Hollywood did something wrong, because it taught everybody how to be violent and how to be shoot, and all the spree of shooting gave the man, you know, I didn't want to use that, and I'm not going to use the bad word, but they gave the man the rush to shoot. So men without education that cannot see the difference, and people that come from a very poor environment, they actually get charged with the movies. So Hollywood now have to come with a training program via movies to teach how to be safe, how to guard. And it's not a story. It's not a fairy tale. It's reality. But reality that can be also treated with some kind of love and caring. Because I remember when there was this story about Troisi, God bless his soul, about Paradise, and the movie that won the Oscar when he jumped on the Oscars on the seat. He was in the Holocaust, and his child was there, and he was teaching him that this is a movie we're all pretending to be. So you know, it created all the scene to make sure that the child will survive, and the child did survive. I don't know if it's a true story, but it's the image that we want to see. We want to see all our children safe. We want to see that when there is a gun in front of them in a club, 50 people got killed that day. And nobody knows about any attempt to attack the shooter. There was one door to exit, which is a no-no, and he blocked it. Now, you're saying, what did we do wrong? Of course, you can put everybody in jail. And the FBI did their job trying to investigate. But sometimes, you know, their hands are tied. They cannot go putting everybody that they suspect. If, you know, it passed, it was American. You can't, you know, people going out of whack in no time. That sometimes they take something wrong and they get allergy and they die. You don't know why. And the doctor saw them and they're all well. But the next day they eat something. So you guys, please don't try to blame each other. And we really don't need that. Okay, we don't need America. We want you strong because you're the leader of the free world, remember? We need you to lead the way. We can teach the kids how to be safe, that's all. How to prevent, how to predict. When something goes wrong, what you do, 1, 2, 3, and how you act. Because everybody tend to see that, you know, I spoke to an expert that teach this. And he says that from experience, everybody go under the table when a shoot-up starts. And it's really bad because in Columbine, he went under the table and shoot them. So it's not a really mechanism. The other mechanism that you do is an Oregon style. You just throw whatever you can their way. You never let, you know, don't settle. You don't settle. It's like somebody who's, we warn the kids always, if somebody attempt to grab you, you have like 5 seconds. The first 5 minutes is the critical one. You need to run. You need to bite. You need to grab. You see, there are training for that. And Israeli have special forces for that. And we promised the world that we're going to be the light upon nation. And here we are today. We're going to be here for you, and we are with you. You are not alone, and we have the state of mind and the ability to overcome this. So let's get our troop together and do what we know that we can do, get our stuff together. All right? So let's start with some music, and we'll keep on going after that. And we are back. It's Orly Benny Davis on BBS Radio with the Impossible Truth. You know, you guys, we need to get our act together, especially in, you know, in midst of this election campaign when Donald Trump throws some mud on the most important person in the universe. And I'm saying shame on you, Donald Trump, because you don't talk like this to the president of the USA. Let's hear what we have for you.
Almost 10 minutes to the top of the hour now, and a dangerous distraction, President Obama calling out Donald Trump.
For a while now, the main contribution of some of my friends on the other side of the aisle have made in the fight against ISIL is to criticize this administration and me for not using the phrase radical Islam.
Why our next guest says politics has had a negative impact on the response to the Orlando terror attack.
Now, the main contribution of some of my friends on the other side of the aisle have made in the fight against ISIL is to criticize this administration and me for not using the phrase radical Islam. This is a political distraction.
That was President Obama speaking on Donald Trump and his approach to terror just less than 72 hours after the worst terror attack since 9/11.
Yeah, here to react, Fox News contributor Pete Snyder. Pete, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Well,
thanks
we heard President Obama speaking yesterday, refusing still to call it radical Islamic terrorism. Do you think that that makes a difference, or do you agree with President Obama when he just says that it's a political talking point?
I don't see how we can address a problem if we can't even name the problem. And, you know, it baffles me that the president has a terrific opportunity here to bring the nation together. You know, politics is about addition, not subtraction, especially in the wake of tragedy. And instead, he chooses to, you know, talk to Democrats one way and Republicans another, and finger wag and scold. And that's just not appropriate for the president after a tragedy like this.
Yeah, well, it doesn't seem like everyone is on the same page. Hillary Clinton even saying she's happy to call it radical Islam. What do you make of that? Are the Democrats in trouble? They're not all in agreement on how we go forth fighting terrorism.
Well, Democrats are in trouble because of the failed policies against ISIS. You know, President Obama famously called them a JV squad, completely ignored them, said that it wasn't something that we needed to address. And here they're influencing our own citizens to take action and kill 50 American citizens. So it's a clear problem. It's going to be a problem for Hillary Clinton. She's tied at the hip with this administration. So sure, they're struggling with it.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that this is helping or hurting Donald Trump?
Well, I think this is a perfect opportunity for Donald Trump to talk about what he would do specifically to make our country safer and do it in a way that brings all Americans together versus divides like the president. So far, I don't think he's been able to get that message across. It seems to be all over the map. And, you know, really, this is a great opportunity to show him as a leader that can bring Americans together.
Pete, have you heard any politician getting it right, anyone that's talking about it in a way that really makes sense to you?
Sure. I think Rick Scott, governor of Florida, is doing a great job. I think Ben Nelson, the senator from Florida, as well as Marco Rubio. I think all three leaders in Florida are doing it right, and that's because they are bringing people together, not going down rabbit holes of partisan attacks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Interesting that you mentioned Florida Governor Rick Scott, because from what I understand, President Obama has called the mayor of Orlando, but has not called Rick Scott.
Hmm. I simply don't understand that one.
Yeah.
The president has the time. I mean, if he can lecture the country about their behavior and mm-hmm. what they should or shouldn't be doing, and lecture Donald Trump and throw partisan bombs, he can certainly pick up the phone and call the governor of the state that is dealing with this horrible tragedy.
Yeah. Pretty easy call to make. Pete Snyder, thanks for being with us this morning.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Let's go back. All right, and we are back. It's Orly Benny Davis with The Impossible Truth. We heard some comments about President Obama not using the word radical Islam, which is such a BS. Guys, get over it. It doesn't really matter. It doesn't matter. You know what? It doesn't matter because First of all, his father, he was a Muslim, right? So how in the heck you think that he feels when there is such an attack on the Islam? It's not conducive. It's not something we're proper. And actually, somebody have to stand up and say, it's not about Islam. It's not about any religion. It's about terror. People who using, it's like somebody who pretend to be Islamic because it's nothing, you know, if they have to think about, you know, what's the introduction of the religion is and how many people practice it and how they practice it, you can understand that there are many people that practice it in the good way, right? Now, every religion have the book of all books that makes, you know, some incredible stories to teach a lesson. It's not the real, it's only metaphorically speaking about the story. Now, I know that I'm the believer of God of Israel, so, it's the God Almighty for me is the true and one. And there is only one, it doesn't matter, because the Judeo-Christian anyway comes from the same. Now, but they believe what they believe, and that's their right. Now, we cannot attach to them all those act of violence that they call, you know, people that call them themselves Muslims and in the name of whatever. And at the end of the day, you can see that there is a club and there is a gay man. He's a Muslim. He doesn't like it. And he's having a fit of some sort. So he did well not to condemn, but we have to open another source of information about what's really the tragic about their education and what their life in the free world means and how the gap is not working for them. You understand? This was the situation. And now on top of everything, most of them were from Puerto Rican descent, from Latinos. Now, we have a situation with the Latinos, guys. You have to come to grip with what's going on because for some reason, the American news, and it's everybody, it's CNN and Fox News, they're talking about radical Islam. What about talking about the fact that Donald Trump put the Mexican and the Muslim on the same level? And now we're having an attack of any Trump campaign by Mexican. And before you know it, we have people that are rioting. You see, to have peace that you guys always talk to us about and teach us, how are we going to talk peace to the Palestinian that like to riot? I'm telling you, this is what it is. It's not easy. You cannot talk sense to them. They don't get it. They don't want to get it. We just need to predict, prevent, and be on top of it ahead of them. That's all. That's what it is. It's like when you go to security desk in the airport, you must be understanding that it has to be a normal checkup, but a very precise checkup. Don't check up like the 90 years old man, you know. You need to understand that there is a selection. You use your brain, you use your method, and you learn how to be effective. You make a circle of security again, one, whatever it takes to get the stuff under control. No, President Bush did. I'm sorry. President Bush did well. Since 9/11, we didn't have any attack in the USA till this Saturday. So we can say that his method and the American method did succeed. And stop saying about failing. We cannot fail. We are succeeding. Sometimes we are short, you know, our shortcoming is evident everywhere. Everywhere. Nobody is safe. Safety in this world is only in one place, you guys. You know that. So let's not pretend. Now we open all the gates and we have all the method And we have now a debate, how we're going to get along. And first of all, you have to take control. And that's why I want to talk to you about the next issue, how the Great Britain referendum is going to be taking place next week, or I think, and what's really in stake as far as security goes. Let's listen.
Space has never been more accessible. There is a growing appetite for space tourism, and private programs like this one at the National Aerospace Training Office.
When it comes to what they think of Britain's EU referendum, many world leaders have already put their cards on the table. The American president has come down against a Brexit. So has the German chancellor, the Japanese prime minister, and other key players. But there is one world leader who, on Brexit, is keeping his cards very close to his chest. And that is the Kremlin leader. In public, poker-faced Vladimir Putin hasn't said anything at all about Britain's referendum. Mind you, in Britain, they've been saying plenty about Russia.
The only country, if the truth is told, that would like us to leave the EU is Russia. And that should probably tell us all that we need to know.
So, is that true? Is the Kremlin secretly betting on a Brexit? And if so, why? What kind of a game is Russia playing? Ask Russian officials that question, and they'll assure you Russia isn't even at the table.
I can say that Russia has nothing to do with Brexit at all. We're not involved in this process. We have no interests in this field.
No interests? Kremlin critics say Moscow is bluffing.
So if there's a Brexit, if there's no crisis in the European Union, of course this will be a local propaganda victory. Because Moscow sees everything as a zero-sum game. So what's bad for the European Union is good for Russia. It's just as simple as that.
But why would a weaker EU deal Russia a stronger hand? Well, Moscow's game plan involves getting Brussels to scrap sanctions. The calculation may be that an EU in trouble would do that more quickly. As part of its strategy, Russia has been playing divide and rule, courting those EU states like Greece, which are friendlier to Moscow. So the stakes couldn't be higher ahead of this EU referendum, not just for the British public, but for global players too, waiting to see how the cards fall. Steve Rosenberg, BBC News, Moscow.
All right. Well, it's true that the European Union pushed Ukraine to be a part, a member of the European Union, and it was putting the European Union just on the border of Russia. So Russia would love to see the EU dismissed completely. But against the Brits in the EU, they have probably nothing. However, come to talk about it, if you talk about security level, Britain will be better off securing its own border, because with this deal that, you know, you're not sure who is coming and what's the border control and what's the permission and how it's going to end, it can drag all Europe down. And by staying independent, it's going to keep Great Britain, England, very stable. It's going to stabilize her again and keep her safe. She's a big ship, and you don't want to drag her with the European Union chaos. Now, of course, there are many good people like Martin Schulz that is running as president of the European Union. But it's not about him, Angela Merkel that does everything. It's about what's the solutions to the problem that they encounter. And sometimes you have to rethink it over. And as I said before, you need to come back and reset the whole thing. The economy is a very tricky situation, and I know that Italy suffer a lot. From first hand, I know. I learned the difference between and after. And I remember the first time that I saw it, it's like, why you have to suffer it? All the prices got higher, and the European Union is not beneficial to many of the member. Probably it gives them the possibility to travel. It gave everyone the chance to move from one country to another, and they have a free pass and no visa needed, which is good because I remember the days that people traveled to England and take advantage of the benefits there. And it's all good and dandy in a good time. But in time of stress, the people are suffering because they cannot absorb the burden of their own life with the immigrants and in the war terror and the culture that is getting dismantled. Now, I'm not talking about isolation of any sort, and I don't understand how this got to be. But, of course, Syria. Right. Remember, we talked about it. As long as you don't solve Syria, you don't solve anything. And the fact that it's not even discussed everywhere, it's not an issue. And many people are feeling that the fact that we left Hezbollah as a terrorist organization run the southern of Lebanon for so long just gave the legitimacy of terrorist organization to grow older and stronger. And sure enough, they become a part of the Syrian fabric of society. And with the attempt of the Western forces to destabilize the regime of Assad, they actually created a force that hurt a lot of citizens. I'm not going to judge and I'm not going to blame anybody about what happened. I'm going to see how we're going to get out of that, okay? So we said that we need to get Assad out of office. We did. Did we have a plan for him to exit gracefully? Because, he knows that whatever happens, it's not going to end up well like all the rest of them if he doesn't get off in the plea agreement, let's say. Okay? Just think about it. He needs to agree to move on. And you need to take care of the refugee and bring them back. There is a country. Now you say ISIS is there, so push ISIS, no safe haven. Push there and push them until there is no safe haven. But learning that now Turkey has in the border, she situated a bunch of them and gave them, but when you have a free area, you'd never know who's living there. And that's where I want to talk about the settlers. Now I want to point to you. Yeah, like imagine me pointing at you saying, remember that poster of We Want You, kind of? That's how I point to you now. And I'm telling you, get off the settlers' ideas now. Because those settlers are the safeguards of the land of Israel as far as people. Think about ISIS if they had a freedom to travel. If we didn't have the IDF controlling and patrolling, what would happen of Israel? So back off. We have such a tiny land. We need you off. And every time I hear this BDS, like, stop selling Israeli goods. Oh, really? When are you going to start collecting your iPhone and throwing them because it's Israeli made inside of that? So stop this BS of talking anti-Semitism in different colors, okay? I want this enlightened world to start be enlightened for real by truth, by light, by caring, by love. Now, anytime you hear somebody say hate somebody, you better get him off. Like Trump deal, he needs to get off this stage, off this arena or whatever, and take his nice Gulfstream jet and get the heck out of our life. Because this guy, he annoyed the Mexican, which are good working citizens of America. He annoyed us. And he pointing fingers of the president, he pointing finger of Hillary, pointing finger of anybody who comes his way. He actually intimidated a lot of the Republican candidate. And he talked slurred and he speak bad. And he said, oh, look how Kasich eat. Yeah, maybe. You know what, Kasich, you can't even kiss, you know, kiss his hand. Kasich is a fellow that work hard. He is a soldier. So he eats like a soldier. What you can do? They're men. You know, we women, we see it all. And you, Trump, a sissy boy talking to us? And we know the story. And we got a story. I'm not going to throw the story that I've been told. But I'm not going to let you speak about the president of the USA in the way disrespected that you talk to. I'm not going to stay silent and not say a word. You're ruining our posture in the world. You're creating you're shaking the boat of the whole freaking world. And it's not about madness. And it's not, to think that President Obama was actually mad. Did you ever see him mad? This guy is the coolest guy at all. He speaks so softly. He's so together. He's so collected. I can't even fathom what made him so upset. He needs to go out of office. Well, darling, you, Trump, did not even reach the highest. He got elected twice. And I'm not the Democrat. I didn't vote Democrat, remember? I'm a Republican, and the Republican can't understand what happened to their party. I know. I'm sorry, guys. I left you. I left America to be here, you know, in the Holy Land. This is the land where we have to supposed to be coming to greet, God, favored house, to have a house to worship all together. So I'm preparing, all right, for the day that we all make kumbaya, finally. All right, let's get some music.
And now, to close the show, a legend of show business with Diamonds Are Forever. Please welcome Dame Shirley Bassey.
All right, we are back. That was incredible at the Queen's 90th birthday. God bless her. I think Diamond Are Forever for real, and we love this, but we need some cleanup first in this world to do, and I'm sure we girls will get what we need after that. Anyway, let's keep on talking about where we're going from here. Where are we going to hear? First of all, we are going to get some group, a team, a great, great team of people that work together to help this universe of ours. It will be center, of course, in Israel, and we're going to create a people that will help whatever company that needs to progress in her research, development of any sort of security base that we can help with. I'll make sure that you guys will get in contact with their reliable people that we can recommend. And you take it home and you do the best to protect your area, your place, your world, your city. And more of that, we're going to create a team that will go and teach children how to protect themselves in time of action, aggravated assault and stuff like that. We know that there are a lot of policemen, good policemen, that needs to be enforced, empowered, and we bless them and we really want them to be safe. However, the people around needs to take action until they come around. It's like the CPR that you study. You study CPR, so in case somebody is dropping and there is like a real emergency, you're helping them and you can save life. I can recall the moment when I saw somebody choked on a stupid, you know, meat in a gathering, and she was sitting by me and she looked in my eyes, and you know, she couldn't say a word, but she was, you know, telling me in her eyes that something is wrong, and she was crying, you know, and because she was trying to force herself to breathe. So I took her, stand up, and I make a prayer, and the Heimlich maneuver worked the second time, because the first time I wasn't so secure when I'm really I'm going after this to help her. And then it worked, but with the prayer, of course. It didn't work with the first without. So after they were saved, you know, I realized that everybody around were frozen. I was the trained one in the room in that segment, and I acted. So in case you guys know, if you're trained, you will act up. You'll know what to do. It's like another segment. You do that. And I really care for you to understand that it's in case of life and danger, you guys have to choose always life. And never, never think that, you know, it's not going to happen or it's crazy, everything is quiet. Of course, but be prepared anyway, just in case. And then after we train all the vets, you know, there are a lot of people that come out from the military very young, and they serve the community, they help. I remember, you know, going to the supermarkets and getting my backpack by, you know, old fellows. And you knew he was the mover and shaker. He was nobody to mess with. And he was not a bag, you know, he wasn't putting the bag because, you know, he couldn't do anything else. But he wanted activity, he wanted the action. And I love them so much for doing this. These senior citizens of, you know, well, South Carolina, they're exceptional. And we're talking about them and the ability for them to use their time, maybe to entertain the idea to work with the children. And I'm talking children, teenagers, like the sport, like activity. And then we're going to think about probably a boot camp to introduce to American by Special Forces that can come and just, you know, enjoy yourself, just have fun, kick back and learn, or get kicked a little and learn how to defend yourself. Then you're going to go and we can have a little diploma to say, you know, you've been certified to defend yourself. And we're talking about the dilemmas, the question about the armed control that we have in America. And the Second Amendment, that nobody wants to disturb. Now, we don't want to disturb any gun owner from owning gun. But for God's sakes, how many guns do you need? You understand, I love this Second Amendment, but give them one. You don't need two. You don't need three. Or you don't need five. Well, God bless you all, but I know in South Carolina, you guys own a lot of rifles, right? We know that. You go hunting and you go, you know, doing your stuff. Fine. So you got a rifle for hunting, okay? Two. Now, how many do you need? Now, why don't we do what they think to do now? Now, you know what they're going to do. In Israel, they say that to get a license for a gun, which is ludicrous because every soldier has a gun, and then you know that we have them all over. But it's not. They're giving them a hard time. Everyone has to have a psychological test philosophical test, a drug test, whatever it comes, and then they get a gun. All right. And still, it's crazy here. But in America, it's easy. You go to the shop, Walmart, get a gun. Now, we don't need all those guns. You need to have a trail of paperwork to follow up. Every rifle has a number and needs to be, let's say, maybe a recalled every so often to say, you know, check. Is your gun is in your possession? Is that your gun is number 1, 2? Remember, we have a credit card. When you lose a credit card, you inform your thing. So if we get those recycled people, you know, those numbers out every year, said you introduce, you have an armed, you know, it's a very important thing to do. Just check that it's in your possession. If you check, you take responsibility, it's yours, right? Now, once they're stolen, because they're stolen, they are, you know, forgotten, they are mistreated, whatever it is, they need to go into a different band, an information band that says, you know, stolen. So we know how much gun we have in that area. There are a lot of things that we need to talk about. And I know that they are expert for that. The information is stuff that I'm getting constantly. And there are, you know, so many companies now that asking to have surveillance and a lot of method of introducing new items. And we are going to put them all together, compound, and we're going to make this world safe. And those who try to threaten us, they better go away. But if you threaten us by the microphone too, with your bully out of the doors, we're not going to stand for it. And America, it's about time, you know, please elect somebody that we can live with afterwards, all right? Let's get some music and we'll be right back. All right, that will be the greatest night. God, I wish so. I hope that everybody everywhere will have a great, great day, a great evening, a great afternoon, and whatever you do, you guys have to know there is a life and it's ours to live. So please live happy, happy, enjoy yourself, and make sure it make it happen. And sometimes when, you know, fear could take over, just breathe and keep on going. It's going to be okay. You know, and one day you're going to look back and say, oh my God, I did that and I did that. And wow, what a great world it is for me. And I'm sure it's going to be wild and it's going to be amazing. And there is a lot of things that we can do still. And, you know, there is so much. Sun Tzu said, one skilled at battle, seek it she, and it does not demand it of people. Those one can dispense with people and employ shish. You know, the shish in Sun Tzu is about the moment, the gravity, the karma, how they call it in movies, you know, it's like the qualm is in the beautiful Tom Cruise movie. You have to understand, it's okay. We're going through this too, but in the end of the world, in the end of this wave, we're going to be better. We all going to be better because there is a God and it's not us. So God bless you all. I love you. Until next week, all the best. Ciao, ciao.